Happy Tuesday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. We are here one more month. Next month is Bucks training camp. It's unbelievable. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is with us, and this is the podcast known across America, right there in the Google Play top charts, top 50, Sage.
Where we belong, Steve, where we belong.
Is back in the groove, all subjects. You can find the podcast, Podbean, iTunes, leave a review. We love it. We're going strong all the way through the summer. Appreciate.
They must have had a brain cramp for a week that dropped me off the ratings over there, Steve.
Yeah, about 10 days,
it happens,
Ira.
It happens.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Must have been a meteorological mishap. I'll blame it on Hurricane Irma from last September.
There you go, Sage. Look, we're happy to be here, Ira. I think a lot of people enjoyed. I know a lot of people enjoyed last podcast, DeMar Dotson's little history walk back through, talking about Daquan Bowers and Schiano and Lovie.
Freeman.
And
We might have a little more DeMar Dotson in the can. A little bit more, I think we do.
Oh, we got plenty more.
Yeah.
Plenty more. One more. Actually, we get personal with Dotson, really get into the life of an NFL player, specifically his life, and that's some good stuff. You know what? Listening back to Dotson and the history lesson there, it was better than I thought it was. It came off really well.
Lee, he doesn't have that filter that a lot of players and a lot of coaches have. Speaks his mind. He's a guy you root for, and you know what? He was having a damn good season until he got hurt last year.
What we want from you, Ira, is no filter. That's the signature of your podcast, although that's debatable since we know how much you filter with your Sage contacts and all that.
Well, three more Rieslings and I got no filter, Stephen.
Anyway, we're presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Of course, we always celebrate 70-plus years of Ed Morse quality across Florida. Those are our dealerships, Ira, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You can find them at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. All the new June offers are up on the website by now. Well, we're recording a little bit in advance, so we don't have them to spew out to you. But, you know, I'm so pleased with Ed Morse. I know we got some exciting things coming from them this month. We're going to be hearing from Brian Danahy himself on the podcast, the manager at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. And start your car shopping search there. Your SUV shopping, start there, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. All right, Ira, now we've got plenty on the docket. At the end, we're going to go to your mailbag. We threw something up on Twitter, took some questions. Of course, you started answering them online, but we'll forgive you for that. Several you did not answer, and we'll hit them all.
You give me no advance notice. That's the way we do things, right, Steve? No advance notice.
No, we don't prepare for anything, and that's probably obvious by now. All right, look, Sage, you and Lee were out at OTAs on Thursday. I was not. I was out of town reading Lee's OTA report, and of course, you were there. Bad day by Jameis Winston. He's throwing picks. Nobody's saying he's looking sharp. Defense appears ahead of the offense. What do you make of that?
Absolutely immaterial. Absolutely immaterial. And had he thrown 7 touchdowns without a pick, absolutely immaterial. Lee calls it underwear football. I actually use that phrase in my column, Lee, because I can't think of a better one. Underwear football.
You got to think Raheem Morris.
Look, people think training camp is overrated in terms of reading into what kind of season a team's going to have. If training camp's overrated, where's OTAs fit on the scale, Lee? Guys don't know the playbook. New receivers running bad routes, making Winston look bad. Guys not blocking well. I'm not worried about Winston. When the bullets fly, he'll be ready. But right now, defense is making some plays, so Mike Smith's happy. Lee, he's happy. We don't know how long that euphoria will last, Lee.
Yeah,
he's got to go to New Orleans week one. That could be short-lived.
Very much so. I'm like you, Ira. OTAs, it's flag football with helmets on is what it is. The most useless play, and I saw two of them Thursday. The most useless play in OTAs is a running back running up the middle. There's no hitting. There's no blocking. What's the point?
And even Doug Martin can gain 6 yards.
Chris Sims had a monster yard up the middle, had a truck.
Did you say Chris Sims?
I always say Chris Sims.
Yes, he did, Steven.
I say that all the time because
Respect the man. It's Charles Chuck Sims.
Respect is earned, not given. So that's why I always say Chris Sims. At least he gave a body part for the Bucks. But Charles Sims had a hole about the size of one Buck place to run the middle on. That's underwear football. I mean, what's the point?
And he did the Sims shimmy and parted like the Red Sea over there, Steven.
Well, let me just take the other side, Ira, here.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
Well, you know, just because not every fan agrees with you, even though they're here to absorb your sage wisdom as the sage of Tampa Bay sports. But look, you just said, Winston picks, you know, the guys are still learning the playbook and there's new receivers. Well, you know what? There really aren't many new receivers at all. And Jiminy Christmas, it's his fourth year in the same offense. That's an eternity in the NFL. So I don't know. Is that really an excuse?
Well, maybe he's throwing a Ronald Jones a couple of times, Lee. You know, he's trying
true.
Him, you know, Ronald Jones.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that. You know, I don't know if it was Phil Sims, and I've got that name right. I don't know if it was Phil Sims. I can't remember who it was. Someone that was significant in the NFL has stated this about OTAs and actually even training camp. It might be Jim Miller of SiriusXM NFL Radio. It was a German quarterback, but the guy was always playing wherever he went, he played. They didn't mind picks in the OTAs and in training camp and preseason. Why? They said, you're trying to test your limits, see what you can get away with. I don't know if that's what Jameis is doing.
It's sort of like spring training in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, pitchers get shelled. Really good pitchers?
Because
they're working on stuff.
They're working on change-ups, or they're working on off-speed pitches or what have you. That could be it. That could be very fair. I don't know. But you know what? The defense isn't laying down for these guys either, whether it's good or bad. You know, Quan had a pick in the very next play. It was his exact same play. Jameis was throwing in a left flat, and Quan dropped a pick. That's two plays in a row.
I wouldn't be losing any sleep over this. What I find, you know, I don't think distressing might be too strong a word, Lee, but I'd like to see, out of the five new defensive linemen, one towers above all others, literally and figuratively,
mm-hmm.
in terms of importance, I think, and that's Jason Pierre-Paul.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Joe McCoy.
In terms of, accomplishments, and he hasn't been there consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it from a bonding standpoint. I get to know your teammates. I know there's training camp coming up at the end of July. I assume Steve JPP will be here for mandatory minicamp, which is only about a week away. If he's not, we got a problem, but I expect him there. But, you know, I keep going back to the old Bucks, Steve. The old Bucks in the glory days, OTAs were not voluntary, and I think they need to get back to that kind of regimen.
I don't disagree, but like Cutter says, it's voluntary. What's he going to do? You know, he's in no position to order anybody there because it's voluntary, a collectively bargained issue. You brought up defensive line, and this was, to me, the most interesting thing that came out of OTAs. But right before I'll mention this about Jameis, and I'll finish this about Jameis. Now, Jameis allegedly has been working all offseason with Deshaun Jackson and him. They went up to Florida State to work out, and I saw one bomb Jameis threw to Deshaun Jackson. It was out of bounds and too long, so he missed him by a large amount. So, and this is underwear football where guys can't be touched. So much for all that extra
work. Do you
know
how many quarterbacks over the years have thrown bombs to Deshaun Jackson successfully, including scrub quarterbacks? So there's absolutely no excuse in 2018 if those guys don't connect on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and you're right. And
the guy's been doing it for 10 years.
And if Godwin continues to improve, he's got chemistry with Godwin, he being Winston. They obviously have chemistry with Evans. Obviously have chemistry with Brate. They seem to have chemistry between him and O.J. Howard. So if they still don't have anything going with Deshaun Jackson, I think it's fair to say some of it is on Deshaun Jackson.
You know,
some of it.
Very interesting point. Suppose Godwin keeps coming on. Winston and Jackson still struggle in terms of chemistry. Godwin takes some of Jackson's snaps. Now, let's look at the ramifications of that. Let's look at Jason Light. Well, Deshaun Jackson was his big free agent acquisition, 2017, along with Swaggy Baker. We know how that worked out. If Deshaun Jackson starts losing, you know, snaps, but look who he's losing it to. A guy who's another feather in Light's cap in terms of the draft. So, you know, it's a loss and a win for Light. It's a very interesting way to look at it for a guy that's looking for an extension.
And what did you predict when they signed Deshaun Jackson?
I said Jackson will play 2 years for the Bucks, no longer.
It's going to be very interesting in the sense that, look, I know there's so much hype about Godwin. I like Godwin as much as the next guy. The reviews of him, from his attitude, his work ethic, the way teammates light up, to the way he plays special teams, he's perfect in the review category, but he's only caught like 20-something balls.
Let's not put him in the Calvin Johnson
He's
category,
got one career touchdown. I mean, let's just calm down a little bit. I just hope Dirk Cutter plays the best man, because there's really no excuse not to do either. But Light is sort of in a no-win situation in some ways, because if Jackson doesn't come through as a clear 1B starter, then he was a bust. for this team. He's a bust, no matter how you want to slice it.
And he won't be back.
And he won't be back.
To Life's credit, it's only a 2-year guaranteed contract, so there's the out.
But, you know, it would be another free agent failure.
Yeah, which is not the goal. I mean, the goal is to have them all three on the field. Godwin, Jackson, who can play inside in the slot. Evan. He himself has even said that he might transition more there toward the end of his career. Mike Evans plays his share in the slot. Let's hope all three of them work out. But I wanted to go to something, Ira, because, again, you know, it's nice to say that Jameis, you know, maybe he's working on stuff and pressing too hard. There was a great story a few years ago. I think Lee wrote it up. Maybe I did. I don't even remember. Ultron Verner was on the radio saying, you know what? Jameis is throwing these picks on purpose in practice, you know, because he's pushing the envelope. He's got to see where his limits are in the NFL. But now we know that the whole regime is focused on don't push it, Jameis. Don't force it. Just take what's there. I don't think any of this stuff is by design in the sense that he's pushing limits.
Lee, his picks were down last year. Oh, yeah. He didn't throw a bunch of picks last year.
He actually improved in every area except for one, and it was really damning. He had 50% more fumbles in, what, three less games, four less games?
He missed three games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's brutal. Now, there's a picture. I linked to it. I didn't check if anybody caught it or not. I linked to it. It's from the Tampa Bay Times. Caleb Benedict completely matador blocked a guy with the Panthers. And Jameis has, you know, hand cocked. He's getting ready to release the ball. And it's pretty clear that ball's going to get popped in the air because the defensive lineman's right on top of Jameis. And it was clear it was Benedict's man because Benedict is looking like, whoa, where'd you come from? I mean,
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here.
No,
although I've played that role very well, you know, for 2.5 years or whatever.
What are you talking about?
Lee.
You played that role?
On this podcast. Lee, some people think. Lee, I'm still concerned about the depth on the offensive line.
I agree with you.
I'm not concerned about the D-line depth. I'm concerned about the O-line.
The right
depth.
Side specifically. I agree. I've written that a few times. I know exactly what you're talking about. And let's talk about this. Since Jason Light, Mark Dominic used to have this habit until the Bucs media relations manager, Jonathan Grella, kind of taught him up, coached him, for lack of a better term.
Mark 28-52, Dominic, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dominic had a nasty, ugly habit of whenever he was interviewed, especially when it was with a national source, he would just rattle off the roster. No one turns off radios quicker than there's someone rattling off a roster list. No one gives a damn. And Light does that. And I'm surprised Jason, we know you're really proud of the number 8 guy on the offensive line, but no one else is. Just keep it to yourself. Just talk about the stars. Well, Light was on Sirius XM NFL Radio with Alex Marvez, your friend, the other night. He was asked about the offensive line, and Light, true to his nature, started rattling off the name of every offensive lineman.
They're just names. That's all they are. They're just names. They haven't done anything.
Except one name he omitted.
Don't tell me he didn't mention J.R. Sweezy.
He did not mention J.R. Sweezy, but he did add this. And we will have competition there at right tackle, or right guard.
Damning. I think that's very telling right then.
On top of the fact that Cutter is fast-tracking Benedict. Like, you know, Cutter, how many times have we heard Cutter say he believes in his reserve offensive lineman being multidimensional? They should be able to be plug in and plug out. But when OTA started, Benedict was ordered. You practice at right guard and right guard only. That's a monster break from Cutter. And then you throw on top of what Light said, we will have competition at right guard. Writing's on the wall.
Steve, in a perfect world, you know, Light wants J.R. Sweezy at right guard. Doesn't look like he's going to get him. And as Lee said, when you're fighting for your life, Dirk Cutter and Jason Light, you got to play the best man. You've been saying that a million times, Steve. You're not coming off 9-7 anymore where you got a little leeway. We'll play this guy. We'll let him develop or whatever. We'll get him over his injury. Those days are over. You got to start from week one, your best guys. And if Sweezy's not one of them, he's probably going to be off this team.
Was it you or was it Steve that said, given, you know, a couple of weeks ago when they had all the coaches talk, you said you kind of noticed there's like a, I don't know if urgency is the right word, but I don't know if attitude's the right word, but you get the sense that these guys know their backs are against the wall.
I don't see how they could not. We know it. They got to know it. They're realists. They're not naive.
Yeah, of course. They know where they are in the standings and where, you know, where third-year coaches are on any team, really, if you don't have some sort of huge Super Bowl win behind you or a playoff appearance. Now, before we close the book on Jameis, Ira, Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, made a big deal of this statistic that emerged from Football Outsiders, a stats outfit out there, Ira. He made a big deal about it in the sense that Matt Ryan was the best in the league in a stat called adjusted interceptions. Basically, that Ryan was the most unlucky quarterback because he had five tipped balls that were picked off. And they studied, the Football Outsiders studied, how many picks guys had, how many were tipped balls, how many were how many balls they threw that were dropped interceptions, sure picks that didn't end up being picks. So Matt Ryan was the unluckiest quarterback in the league, according to this, and his numbers were incredible. Five tipped interceptions, weren't his fault, whatever. Well, the flip side of that, though, this adjusted interceptions study thesis, was that Jameis Winston was considered the luckiest quarterback in the NFL. He finished just ahead of DeShone Kizer and Kirk Cousins, and that he should have had 19 picks, you know, that he didn't fare well and was lucky last year in that realm. Is any of that meaningful to you at all, or is it all just a bunch of gobbledy crap?
Lee, they say you can twist stats any way you want. For example, when Steve tells me this stuff, my first reaction...
Your zeros on your check?
My first reaction... First of all, who says every tip is an accident? A tip ball can be a bad pass, and it very often is a bad pass.
Or a good play
by
the defense.
Too high.
Or a good play by the defense.
Could be. But just the fact that it was a tip ball doesn't mean you're unlucky. You understand my point? You overthrow a guy, it's too high, it's behind him, he gets a hand on the ball because he's trying to catch it. That's a tip ball, that's a poorly thrown ball. So take that right there and there, Isbits, while you're trying to be a mathematician.
I'm just asking you.
You got a 78 on your algebra regents. I happen to know that because I looked these things up, and you're trying to give me a statistical analysis over here.
For those unaware, the regents is some New York State exam
that's the end of the year,
given
to
high school
exam.
Students. I did not live in New York
State. Who were you hounding, Ira, last week? Something about the SATs.
The SATs?
Oh, that was...
That might have been Fennel. Yeah, I don't know.
No, but it was that guy, is that Sickles?
Now,
the guy from Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, the coach, Leo Haggerty.
Yeah.
Leo Haggerty. That's a big number to suggest that Winston should have had 19 picks. That's a big addition to what he actually ended up with. So I'd like to know a little bit more of how they reached 19. That's a big number.
So do you just sort of think
if he had 19 picks, we're having a whole different conversation right here about
Well, he didn't. That's the point.
He didn't.
So do you just think this is just meaningless offseason fodder to you?
I don't think it's meaningless, but I think you got to put it in context.
I like Football Outsiders. I've written that so many times. I know the guys that run it. I respect them. I know where they're coming from. They are not slaves to stats, whereas the PFF tribe, they are slaves.
I think they're genuinely trying to do a good job, too.
Yeah. Mike Tanner is one of the head honchos there. He's a great guy. Works for Bleacher Report. He's a fantastic guy. Well, anyway, I learned in high school what you said. You take numbers and twist them and back up whatever kind of argument you're making. When you start using the term adjusted, that's a little square peg, round hole in play.
Hey, I'm still trying to figure out what WAR is in baseball. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's BS is what it is. WAR is BS.
WAR? What the hell are you talking about? Mike Trout's, I got a 15 WAR? What are you talking about?
All right, Ira. Well, in WAR, there are invasions, and of course, the stick carriers are going to New Orleans for the Bourbon Street takeover, led by FanRetreat.com. FanRetreat. That is who you want to send your text right now. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. That's how you get your information on the Fan Retreat. Bourbon Street takeover.
We're 3 months away, and the Kemper's 3 months away from the gumbo shop.
It is around the corner. Saturday night before the game, Ira is going to be giving a speech at a party. It's going to be a lot of fun. The commish will be at that party rallying the troops.
Trying to get a representative from the Bucks. Don't count us out on that. You never know.
And it is going to be off the chain fun. And, of course, a whole travel package is going to be there for you with the Fan Retreat. FanRetreat.com is your home for all Bucks tickets, event tickets, tickets to the Rays. Can't believe they choked this Sunday's game away, Ira. I'm still pissed off about that. Cannot believe
Snell
what happened
pitched
there.
Well, didn't he?
Snell struck out 8 of his first 9. They lost 2-1. Forget about that. FanRetreat.com. It's where you get all your tickets, all your flights, all your hotels, all your rental cars in one shot. Awesome. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code at FanRetreat.com. Now, Ira, I'm going to redirect you a little bit. Going to move you in a direction here. I got a question for you and Lee because I haven't brought this up yet, so we'll stay fresh here, right? Look at the sage. He's leaning in.
I'm going to take a sip of coffee before I hear this one.
He's got his thinking cap on. Now, it came out at OTAs that Noah Spence is now about 257 pounds. And I believe he told Spence himself told Greg Allman of the Tampa Bay Times last year in the spring, summer, he had dropped down to 228.
What?
And Dirk Cutter, Dirk Cutter, when he was talking, said that...
Was he a strong safety? What the hell's going on around here?
Dirk Cutter said last year, at this time, Spence had, was in the summertime, was in the low 230s. And now he's back to 258. And keep in mind, this guy came out of college. The combine, he weighed 251, and he was considered small for a defensive end. And it was very much determined pretty quickly that, he's not what he should be against the run, but that's okay. Maybe he'll develop, and he's, you know, he's here to sack the quarterback.
Yeah, he wouldn't draft
so
him to stop the run.
My question to you is, Ira, what the hell is the guy doing down at 232? Who let him do that? Who didn't rip him a new one and fine him? Why was that allowed to even happen? I don't understand that. What do you make of that?
This one's not on Noah Spenceley. It's on the organization. Well, what's going on here? They give a guy guidelines where they want the guy. If they want him at 251, Noah Spence not going to be 228. Am I wrong, Lee?
Well, I would imagine, you know, when you want a guy to be a certain weight, who's responsibility?
He's going to be in the ballpark.
Well, whose responsibility with the Bucs is it to see that?
Well, his position coach.
And what's happened to his position coach?
All I know is 228. That's Tanard Jackson. I'm not going there. 228 will be thrown around like a rag doll.
Well, these guys weigh in when they come in April. They're with the trainers and the athletic. And keep in mind, Spence was last year rehabbing. So he was in touch with the team and what he was doing. And all of a sudden, he's down to 228.
I don't want him at 270, Lee, but I don't want him at 228.
He was on the wrong diet.
That's either a red flag to me on the organization and Spence. It's just evidence of something being really messed up because nobody wants a 228 defensive end. I don't know. Where do you throw the blame?
When he was drafted, they had big plans for him at that weight. So all of a sudden, you want the guy to drop 25 pounds?
Well, I have another sinister question for you. It's sinister based. You think that's one reason why he blew out his shoulder because he was so light?
Gee, at this point, nothing's off the table, guys. You stunned me with that 228, Isbitz. I mean, that's me in 2009. Isbitz, I didn't have any sacks that year.
I don't know. It's just, it's very odd. It's very, very odd. And now, so last year we were all excited about Spence going into the season, right? Oh, maybe he's got his shoulder right. He just played through this horrible injury.
We thought he was the big X factor up front.
And Mike Smith's calling him Gumby, you know, if you remember that. And now we
another guy called him, a terror or something?
Jason Light said he was an animal, but that was in March. I'm going to give Light a pass because the Bucks hadn't yet reported back. So maybe Light saw him and said, an animal, he's a greyhound. What is this? I don't know. It's odd, and now he's 30 pounds heavier, and is they going to lose some quickness there? I don't know. It's odd.
The best news of all, Lee, is what Noah Spence does in 2018 is going to be a bonus. That's the way it should be.
Unfortunately, you're right.
And that tells you right now that they're in a lot better shape up front because he's almost an afterthought. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Well, here's one for, I don't know if Steve was going to bring us up, but OTAs and the defensive line. And I wrote this story Friday coming out of OTAs Thursday afternoon. I think you were with McCoy when Jensen was speaking. How many times, I'm sick of hearing it, like, oh, we wanted to get nasty, and he went out and got Ryan Jensen. Ryan Jensen's nasty. I'm not saying Jason Light's trying to con anybody. I'm just sick of hearing it because it's the same quote all the time. Nasty, nasty. Okay, guy, forget it. It's nasty. All right. You know, you can go out and I can go to a biker bar and get a nasty guy, but can he block? That's what I want to know. So anyway, we hear that all the time. Nasty, nasty, nasty. And then it comes out, and Jameis was talking on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and they asked him specifically about Jensen. And Jameis, him and Gerald McCoy have been getting into it, and we're only in, you know, OTAs. We only have helmets on. And I thought that was very telling because obviously we, the press, are only there once a week. We're not there all week long when they're practicing. And Jameis is coming out and saying those guys are getting into it.
That is music to Buck fans' ears, especially on the McCoy part. They buy the Jensen's nasty, and they want McCoy to be nasty.
Yeah, the fans love that. It was all over Facebook. Everybody's all fired up for
McCoy.
They want
video. You can't wait for video. You know.
It certainly is a good sign. It can't be anything negative about that. So that was kind of fun. OTAs, though, Ira, were 6 in. Out of 10, and Jason Pierre-Paul has not yet practiced. To the best of our knowledge, he's healthy.
We're hearing he's in the building.
He's in the building. I don't understand why he can't watch practice if he's in the building. That's odd. You know, there's no problem standing there in a floppy hat, soaking it up, or walking through I don't know.
We've seen that before from a Buck defensive lineman.
What do you make of that?
And a right guard.
What do you make of that?
I'd like him to be here. The Bucks' hands are tied. They can't dock him. You know, they can't punish him. Nor would they, probably. Because it's voluntary. It is voluntary. But, you know, it's a sign. It's a sign of commitment, Lee. I don't want to read too much into it. But he's a new guy. Lee, yeah. He's new. Grimes knows the system. Grimes knows what Mike Smith wants. Grimes is the last guy that Mike Smith's worried about. This guy's new.
Hasn't
made a tackle for the Bucks. Be nice if he was out there.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Smith told Brent Grimes, I know this didn't happen, but Brent, don't worry about it. Take it easy. We need you in December. Don't give a damn about May.
He might be playing cornhole because based on our party that night, he's good at everything he puts his mind to.
But Grimes was out there, just to follow up, was there last week. I don't know. I mean, I can't make a big deal about the JPP thing, but one thing that does stand out a little bit, Ira, he did go to OTAs. I looked it up, was doing the research, primarily went to all of them in New York. Not everyone, but most. And one thing last year with JPP, it really went underreported, is he had some sort of hand-wrist thing going on, and late in the season, he started playing with a club again. Mm. He didn't always play with a club. And when he switched to the club, his production went in the toilet, if you listen to the Giant writers and the fans and stuff. So we don't know yet if he's going to practice with a club or if he's going to play with a club. It's like club or no club, JPP, which we don't know which guy we're going to get. And if it's the guy with the club, if you follow what went on in New York, I don't know if that's the best thing. And I'd like him out there practicing. If he is going to play with the club, give him some more time with it, any more reps he can get with it. I don't know.
Lee, the last time I heard such a debate about a club, I was in New York, and they were talking about some device you hook on your steering wheel to your brake pedal, and it stops people from stealing your car. It was called the club. You got to get the club.
That's right.
So here comes JPP. Look, I don't care if he uses the club or he doesn't use the club. I want 10 sacks, and I'm not going to be happy if I don't get it.
I thought you were going to have some weak Studio 54
Yes, that's
reference.
What I thought, too. I thought you were going to talk about Donna Summer and the time you guys were dancing.
With Andy Warhol with those people. No. Those are the beautiful people. Bianca Jagger.
Yeah, okay, Bianca Jagger. There's a throwback.
Yeah, and speaking of nasty with Jason Light, you know, you figure you just go back to Brooklyn, get the Kaufmans together. It gets tough.
All right. My brother says, the Kaufmans.
Kaufman's.
All right, Ira, I haven't read it yet, but apparently you have written a sage column on Doug Martin, of
when
all people, trying to torture innocent Bucks fans with the mention of this guy. What's the crux of your column here, Ira, that appeared Monday on Joe Bucks Fan?
2 points, Lee. One, the word out of Oakland is he's the second coming of Adrian Peterson in his prime. And number two, the Bucks have moved on, and they shouldn't care what Doug Martin does. They shouldn't care. And I'm throwing this out there. His track record suggests he is a guy that's very motivated by a guy that when he's looking for a new contract. He is. He's making $1.4 million. The Raiders think they got him as a bargain, one-year deal. We know what happened when he got that big deal from the Bucks. He went into the toilet. 2.9. See, that's where numbers don't lie. You know, forget about the football outsiders. You can't argue with 2.9, Lee. You got that embedded in your brain over there. You go to bed at night thinking 2.9, what the hell? Come on, Doug. So everybody's talking about Doug Martin. Greg Olson, who we remember in Tampa. Yeah. He's Gruden's offensive coordinator. Donald Penn's talking him up. Gruden's talking him up. Oh, Derek Carr's talking him up. We got Doug Martin. Well, from what we saw, be careful what you wish for. But the bigger point is, I don't care if he gets 1,100 yards. He wasn't going to do it for the Bucks. It wasn't going to happen in Tampa. They've moved on. Let's focus on Ronald Jones. And I don't, you know, Steve, I don't know if I speak for you. I don't wish Doug Martin any ill will. But I will say this, and I throw it in the column. This might be a stretch. You could argue that he single-handedly prevented the Bucks from making the playoffs. Because as Steve Steve likes to point out, big game in New Orleans. They win that game, they probably make the playoffs. Probably make it.
They do.
They had already lost to Dallas, which was 8-6, but they now you got a chance to be 10-6, and they lose a shootout, 31-24. And what happens? As Steve will tell you, Dirk Cutter says, "You're sitting, Doug. You're not suiting up." He was eligible to play, and in the biggest game of the year, Cutter sat him because he was going to be suspended for PEDs. They lost faith in him. And if the Bucks win that game, they probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, and in NHL terms, it was a healthy scratch.
Healthy,
biggest game of the year.
Healthy scratch. Healthy scratch.
I'm blaming Dirk Cutter for playing the guy last year, but it's an old story. We wish him well. It'll be great theater if he does rip off 1,100 yards.
He also says, Zilly, now let me get your take on this. This is interesting. He said, somebody asked him what went wrong in Tampa.
Doug, okay.
Yeah, what went wrong the last 2 years?
Yeah.
He said, I couldn't get out of my own way. He also said,
I saw that.
He didn't focus. He didn't have the proper focus. As I put it in the column, and I think I did it very gingerly, because if we were writing for something else, I might have put it more bluntly. I said, he didn't deal very well with the temptations of Tampa. And there are temptations, as Josh Freeman can answer
too. Allegedly, yeah.
There are temptations of various forms. He admitted he didn't have his focus. He didn't have his focus. Meanwhile, you're getting $7 million. I got a problem with
it. Well, I think it was pretty obvious when he got popped. That said it all. That said it all. Now, the Raiders and all the Raiders people singing hosannas about how he looks in underwear football, I'm quickly reminded how Jason Light absolutely crowed about Doug Martin last year playing in a sandbox. And this sounds like the exact same thing, only different. It was like, you ever hear the story about romance novels? Romance novels are the same story. The only thing that's different is every book, every novel is different location, different names. Everything else is the same.
There you go.
And so this reminds me of, it's the same old story, different location, different names.
I don't like guys who steal money, Steve. Now, I'm not trying to always take the team's side. I take the player's side most of the time. But I made this point about Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Oh, that guy stole money.
And I think it now applies to Doug Martin. I think he stole money. The last couple of years from the Bucks, he stole money.
Oh, the stuff I heard about.
Just like ASJ stole money his first 2 years.
The stuff I heard about ASJ, I wouldn't even mention Doug Martin's name in the same sentence.
You know,
that's
now,
not fair.
Now it appears that ASJ's got his life back in order, but he's not giving any money back to the Buck organization. Steve, is it Jason Light's fault that the guy didn't want to play football for 2 years?
Well, ASJ made peanuts compared to what Doug Martin earned. I mean, second round pick, didn't earn a lot of money from the Bucks, so at least he didn't steal a lot, just wasted a lot of time.
But if the guy was a player, they don't draft O.J. Howard. Maybe they draft Dalvin Cook. There's a lot of ramifications.
You've been around many, many years. You know, you're 60-some years of covering the NFL.
Thank you.
Yeah, Steve and I always joke about that. I asked Howard Balzer this. He's been around almost as long as you.
He has.
60 years. But anyway, I asked him one time, said, do you ever remember a player getting run out of underwear football practice? He said he can't even think of it. And he covers, not only did he cover the Rams, and he covered, before that, the Cardinals, he also covered the NFL in general. He's never heard of that. Have you ever seen that?
That was a first.
Yeah.
That was an absolute first.
All right, Sage, a couple of quick hits here before we get to our reader questions, which is always very exciting questions for the Sage. And, of course, first, though, everyone should visit EdmoresCadillacTampa.com. EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. You can do your searching for a vehicle right there. That's how it's done, right online. And, of course, head out to the beautiful dealerships to test drive. Edmores Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. And Edmores Cadillac Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to in Brandon. Ira, I went back. I was listening to Brinson Buckner, the new defensive line coach, and you just mentioned stealing from the Bucks. Swaggy was a thief, Doug Martin, and many others, whatever.
Anthony Collins, another thief in the
night. Yeah,
that's one of your favorites. But
he is.
Brinson Buckner noted when he spoke to media recently that, you know, he came in late, right? Team Glazer, on the orders of his coaching staff and Jason Light, they paid Jay Hayes and then they fired Jay Hayes. You know, here's $1 million of Team Glazer loot. But anyway, Brinson Buckner comes in a month late and he described a scenario. He was asked about the defense, and he said he described the scenario of a team that had already watched its film and decided, you know what? We didn't really try as hard as we did in 2016. And here's what he actually said. Quote, and I think what they did even before I got here, those guys sat back and they observed themselves and were like, quote, wow, we didn't have the same effort. We made some mental mistakes that helped us to end up that way. So now they've come back working with an attitude, trying to correct those things. What do you think it says that a position coach comes in here and he finds a group of guys who believe they didn't put out the effort?
I'll tell you what I think. Lee, I want you to focus very hard, Lee. Focus. You hear that sound?
Yeah, it's a...
No, not this sound. It's a gurgling sound. Gurgling. There's your word for the day. You know gurgling. What that gurgling sound is?
Me drinking too much Bud Light?
No, it's Buck fans listening to this podcast and listening to what Steve just said, quoting Buckner, and throwing up.
Yeah.
They're throwing up. Why? Because you don't need great talent to have great effort. Effort's the bare minimum.
Yeah.
That's the basement. That's what you start with. And, Steve, am I reading Buckner wrong? You just said it. He's implying that in their self-scouting, they were short on effort.
What happened to the position coach last year?
Oh, that doesn't speak well for the coaching staff. It just doesn't.
No. Well, Robert Ayers, to the best of my knowledge, is still unemployed, is he not?
Buckner, to clarify, he was talking about the whole defense. He was asked about the whole defense.
Oh, okay.
And so he didn't say defensive line. But even so, obviously, yeah, Ayers is still unemployed.
Good. Now you got 11 partners in crime.
That's hard to believe that Kwan was dogging it, if that's what he was implying.
It is.
Well, let me say this, Ira. I guess the bigger question is, why were we told by Dirk Cutter week after week, effort was there? Team Glazer, we sat there with Joel Glazer. One of the reasons he brought back Cutter, effort. They fought all the way hard, playing hard for the coach, playing hard for the coach. Jason Light, effort. Dirk Cutter, 7-1 score losses, you know, where effort was there.
Well, unless Buckner was just talking about the first 10 games or something.
Very well
know.
Could have.
Maybe he was. Maybe he was.
Well, let's be honest here. Did you see effort when they went to Arizona? And Adrian Peterson, who's clearly done, had damn near a career game?
Absolutely abysmal. Went to Minnesota. Abysmal effort. Went to New Orleans. Abysmal effort. Didn't stop there. First half, first three quarters at Buffalo. Bad.
I got to be fair at Minnesota. It wasn't, at least to me, it wasn't effort. I mean, effort was there, I thought. They just got the crap beat out of them, physically.
Well, guys running wide open, too, Lee. Wide open.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look, again, guys, the Bucks are trying to replace, you know, Ryan Smith. Grimes, I mean.
I want a competitive effort, Steve. They weren't competitive.
And the Bucks, if I remember right, didn't the Bucks come back?
Yeah,
they came back within two scores in the third quarter?
I'm not interested.
I got you, Sage. Just wanted to throw it out there. All right. Now, Ira, we are going to get to reader questions, so let's get right after it, Ira. Jim, one of the OKC boys, says, Sage, Jason Light seems to overcompensate positions years later. Right now, cornerback still looks thin. Do you think we bring in a veteran?
I don't think there's any question. I think you bring in a veteran. McLean's still out there as we're speaking in early June.
Yes.
He's still out there. Look, he's not God's gift to corners, but he knows the system. And he wasn't that bad last year.
Ira, the question was, do you think we do it? Not should we do it. Do you think Jason Light does it?
Absolutely they do it. Absolutely okay. They do it. You can't be relying on Stewart, Davis, JV, and Elliott. I'm sorry. You need another veteran hand back there with Grimes at corner.
All right, Sage, we're going to move on to Joe Saltz. This question's
good
off
dude.
Twitter. Has the culture changed around one buck from this time last year? June 1st-ish. Difference in culture, Ira?
Well, I think you could describe it like this. There's a realization that we're not as good as we thought we were. I think that's healthy. There's a realization that nobody thinks we're going to do a damn thing in 2018. I think that's healthy, too. And maybe the biggest culture change, the guys at the top, the very top of the pyramid, right below the owners, are fighting for their lives. That wasn't the case a year ago. Wasn't the case. They thought they were on the upswing, we're ascending, we're safe a little bit to a certain extent. That's changed. So that's the culture change I see. And the players, I think, are embarrassed over what happened last year. So in that sense, there is a little bit of a change.
Sage, would you say one word, you'd call it urgency, is the change?
I think that's the best way to describe it, as urgency, yes.
Now, on Twitter, you answered this question very briefly. You weren't supposed to.
Sorry.
But you wrote, they learned from the Kraft Jones playbook. What the hell does that mean?
Well, you want to put the question in context. I think it was about the Jameis Winston investigation.
No, it was about culture change.
It was about the Winston investigation.
Maybe you misread it. We don't want to fluster you.
Well, since you brought it up.
I thought they were trying to bring up that that Kraft and Jones were making a lot of public statements about the Brady investigation, about the Ezekiel Elliott, and it ended up they got hit anyway. So the Glazers have been silent for the most part, except to say they're a little frustrated, but they're not taking Goodell to task. So I think they realized that doesn't work. That's what I meant.
Poor Reggie Liu, our great friend, asked about a timetable for the results of the investigation.
Sooner rather than later.
Okay.
Liu, I think you're going to have an answer I would say before training camp starts.
All right, Sage, let's head over to Jamar. Jamar says he addresses you as Sage.
Oh, I like him already.
Most do.
Sage, let me get your take on Vita Vea over under sack total of 4 for his rookie year.
All right, I want to make a point about Vita Vea, and I don't want Buck fans turning out off this podcast in disgust. And I'm being very serious here. Don't discount what Bo Allen can do on the football field. And by that I mean he's a run stuffer. He's a first and second down guy. We already don't know if Vita Vea is going to be there on passing downs. We don't know that. Vinnie Curry could move next to McCoy. They're not going to play Vita Vea at right defensive end.
No.
You know. So first and second down is where Vea comes in the rotation. I think he's going to get below 4 sacks. I do. That doesn't mean he's a bust. He's not. And I think he's going to have to share time with Bo Allen. I don't see he necessarily walks in, and Steve's been talking about this for a year or two. You know, investiture doesn't matter anymore. You go with the best guy, and I think Bo Allen's a pretty darn good player. So I think Vay is going to, you know, break in at his own pace. And I don't think he's going to be anointed a starter week one necessarily, Lee. And I don't think Buck fans should go crazy if that happens.
I think some Bucks fans, Ira, would say if Vita Vea isn't better than Bo Allen, they want to just put their head in the toilet.
Bo Allen's making some money, Lee. Bo Allen's making some money. He ain't come here on the cheap.
Well, he's got a ring, so.
You know.
All right, Ira. Now, we already answered the JPP question. Now, similar question came in from Bucks and Magic for Life, so we appreciate that. We hit that, so let's go to William Keith, who also addresses you appropriately as Sage. Sage, would you have rather the Bucks lost Week 17 versus New Orleans if it meant we got Quentin Nelson? Or does winning that game against a division rival playoff team hold enough momentum / confidence value transitioning from 2017 to 2018 to surmount maybe getting the better future player?
You're in deep thought there, Ira.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Look. You play to win the game. I don't want to, you know, quote Herm Edwards over here, but you play to win the game. But you know how I feel about Quentin Nelson, Lee. How many times do I got to say it? If he was there at 7, I think the Bucks take him, and they say thanks but no thanks to the Buffalo Bills.
Absolutely.
Thanks but no thanks. Yeah. And I would support that. Even though you're picking up 2 second-round picks, you know, it's a sweet deal. It's tough to turn down. All in all, you know, you're going to probably be able to look back and say they would have been better off with Quentin Nelson and without that win. You're probably going to be able to say that, but I can't fault them for going out there and winning that game. Players aren't thinking about, ooh, we want the 5th pick instead of the 7th pick. It's the last thing that Chris Godwin and Jameis Winston are thinking about.
I don't think I've ever seen you pinch the bridge of your nose and thought like you just did.
Oh, man.
When
Steve
was reading that question, yeah.
Boy, if you can guarantee me you would have had Quentin Nelson, that changes some things.
The only other time I've seen Ira's face like that is when he sees a copy of the Tampa Bay Times. All right, Sage, let's move over to, let's go to Travis Combs. Simple question, which rookie will have the biggest impact on the 2018 season?
Ronald Jones. You know, some people might say Carlton Davis. I don't think it's going to be Vea. I don't. Ronald Jones is the man. And I think he's going to be given every opportunity as a home run hitter, potentially. They'll work on his pass catching skills. They'll work on his blocking skills. You know what, Lee? He's there to run the football.
Yes.
Run the football. How many times have you said, hey, I'm tired of hearing about what kind of blocker the wide receiver is or what kind of tackler the cornerback is? Do your primary job. And his primary job is run the football and break off some 20-yard runs. And I think Ronald Jones is going to end up having the most impact.
Like I always say, do you think John Robinson was sweating wondering if Eric Dickerson could block? You think Jerry Jones was chugging a bottle of scotch wondering if Ezekiel Elliott could block? Come on.
Yeah. Ronald Jones is the guy.
Lee, you agree on Jones?
Oh, of course. He's got a chance to have easily the most impact of any rookie because they had no running game last year. They had none.
I think it's going to be Vea. I'm going to go with that.
Right,
we can mark this for the time. I think.
Wait a minute. I don't even have him beating out Bo Allen. We have a major discrepancy here.
Biggest impact doesn't mean they're all. Doesn't mean any of them are going to dominate. But I think Vea makes the biggest impact. All right, Stephen the Wise is our next Twitter question. He has a pretty simple one here. interesting look at it.
Does he address me as Sage?
He does not address you appropriately.
Let's go to the
next
question.
All right, he says, who goes for over 1,000 yards this year, Godwin or Jones?
Ooh.
Quick answer, could be nobody, Ira.
Neither. Godwin's not getting 1,000 yards with all those receivers, and Cutter likes to mix, spread it out, Jameis.
If he does, that tells me someone got hurt.
Yeah, that tells me Evans got hurt. Jones, 1,000 yards, no. Don't count out Peyton Barber. He's going to get his carries. You know, he's going to get 100 carries. He's going to take 100 carries away from Jones, and he's not going to get the 1,000 yards.
He had more than 100 last year, Ira.
Well, he didn't have Jones.
All right, Ira. All right,
we'll see.
Over under, same question, same Stephen the Wise. Over under on how many sacks the linebackers have this year?
Ooh.
I believe last year it was 2, possibly 3.
Oh my god. Well, now I think they'll have the element of surprise a little bit.
Lee, they might get a sack.
That could make all the difference. No, because I think they'll blitz when Smith wants the blitz and not out of desperation. Last year he didn't have any choice. Everybody knew Lavonte David was coming. When Quan Alexander was coming, when Beckwith was coming, this year a little bit more surprise. I'm gonna say 7 for the linebacker core, which is a big bump.
Over under, all right. Over under 7.
That's over under. You're picking.
Over under 7.
Oh, okay.
7
sacks by the linebacker core.
Yeah.
Oh, we got it. All right, Sage. Let's head over to Seth Fellhauer, who has he does address you properly as Sage, and he had a Ronald Jones question. I'm gonna skip that. But he wants to know, do you think there's still a missing piece in our backfield that could be added, such as DeMarco Murray, Orleans Darkwa, or Adrian Peterson, to shore that up?
I don't think so. I think they're going with those four guys. Your man Charles Sims and Rogers. Familiarity there with Cutter, with those two guys.
I'm familiar with him already.
And they want Jones to succeed. Barring an injury, I don't see them adding a significant piece to the backfield.
We'll move on to Irish Buccaneers supporters page at Irish Bucks fans. Ira, how about that?
Ah, nice.
If Bucks signings, draft picks help the running game and D line to become top 10 in their respective categories, what record can the Bucks have in 2018?
Ooh.
So again, if the new pieces get the running game and the D line to be top 10, what's the Bucks record?
I'll go out on a limb and say 11-5, gentlemen.
That's what I was thinking.
I'll say 11-5. You're talking about two key areas, pass rush and ground game. And if they can't score points if the ground game's working, then there's something very wrong. And Jameis ain't getting $130 million. That's my first answer. So, you know, barring Ryan Fitzpatrick starting 14 games, you know, I think given those things, 11-5, and Lee agrees with me.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of, 11 wins. They're
11
both top
wins.
10, 11 wins.
Last question, Sage.
Those are big two ifs. Big ifs. There.
It's a fun one from Tampa 1. Very simple question. Will Rondae Barber be a Hall of Famer?
Dun, 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 dun.
I think it's going to take a while. I'm more worried about getting him in the room for the first time. Last year, didn't get in. System corner. I'm throwing up when I hear that.
Yeah.
And he's a very, you know, astute. Normally.
A legend.
A legend. Veteran guys. You know, system corner. You're going to hold that against Joe Montana? System quarterback? Is Barber going to be a Hall of Famer? I think he's got a 40% shot. 40%.
Ooh, wow, that's not. You just upset a lot of people there, Ira. And you know what? We're going to roll it out on that note, Sage. We'll be back Thursday on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Any pearls of wisdom to leave the good people of Tampa Bay with?
We'll probably do our next podcast maybe at 1:00, Lee, on Thursday morning, live almost. And we should have some more Buck news to mull over, but I think Buck fans got their fill today. Get out of here, Ira.
All right, Ira.